It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. This is the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks so much for joining us on this sunny Monday evening. Finally, some real football to talk about. Games to count in the standings all across South Georgia last Friday night, last Thursday night, last Saturday, and plenty to talk about on this edition of the High School Football Report. Lots to go over. Thanks for joining us. If you're listening to us at 105.9 FM or if you're listening to us online at vetostatoday.com, we appreciate it. Either way, thanks so much for being a part of the show. By the way, wide open phone lines, 229-241-1059. If you want to give us some thoughts about what you saw last Friday night, of course, lots of big games, none bigger than what was our game of the week on the Chick-fil-A Football Friday Night Show. Wintersville Classic Lounge with a very, trying to think of the best adjective to describe it, thorough, dominating, commanding, 45-0 win over the Valdosta Wildcats in the Wintersville Classic. We'll talk some about that game and how the whole thing came through. Other results from Friday night as well involving our local South Georgia teams, and also a very interesting game Saturday as part of the Corky Kiel Kickoff Classic up in Atlanta between the Cockle County Packers and Norcross. So we'll be talking about that as well. And also we're going to be telling you some of the top performances from the past week, including our Houston Clinic Player of the Week. We'll tell you who that's going to be coming up later on. And we'll also tell you the top 10 games we're going to be picking this Friday night, including our game of the week. We'll tell you about that. Also, some statewide news, some national news as well, and lots more on this edition of the High School Football Report. And, you know, when the phones are ringing, we are listening. Let's go to the phone lines to start off the show. Hello, caller. Good evening, and how are you?
Well, I'm fine. How are you, Big Chris Beckham?
We're doing great, my man. Good to hear from you, Colonel.
Hey, listen. Thought I'd give you a little insight, because probably a lot of you have heard bits and pieces or actually watched what happened there at the end of the game between the Packers and Norcross. And there was a little bit of controversy.
a little bit.
Just a little bit. Well, as it was explained to me by, first of all, by Jerry Croft, the former head baseball coach who also did some football coaching in his lifetime.
Sure did.
That call right at the end of the game, that kid was not out of bounds. According to the rules, the high school rules, they had to mark him at forward progress. Had he not decided to backpedal out of bounds, okay, he may have, or, you know, had fought with the defender and then gone out of bounds, he probably would have got the timeout called. But the forward progress rule is that's where he was stopped, and then he backpedaled out of bounds. That's the correct call. However, the one mistake the referees did make as seconds were ticking away was they originally put the ball on the right hash mark. The tackle was made on the far left side of the field. And it appeared to me what happened is based on what happened on the field when the play was made, and then comments after the game, the Norcross staff, for a couple seconds there, actually thought they had a timeout.
That's
and
correct.
The situation was kind of exacerbated by the fact that the receiver kind of nonchalantly strode back to the huddle.
Mm-hmm.
They all thought they had timeout. The clock was running, and the kid was not out of bounds, according to the rules for high school football.
I'm going to disagree with that, but go ahead, sir.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I was watching it and watching online, and then I've watched the replay 10 times maybe. And, you know, the receiver caught the ball and he turned and he did make a couple of steps and got hit, but then he pretty quickly stepped out of bounds. To me, in my estimation, and of course, listen, referees have a very tough job. Officials have a very tough job. You're watching on the field. You got to call it in a split second. You can't sit like me and watch it 10 times on video. But as I did do that, he made a couple of steps trying to go forward, got hit, and then he stepped out of bounds. To me, it was not forward progress. To me, he got hit. He tried to go a little bit, and then he stepped out of bounds. So if that's forward progress, we'll have to then I will have to disagree with the officials.
That was the call.
It was the call. Yeah, exactly.
They made the situation worse by the hash mark thing. But then immediately afterward, as the story was recounted to me by somebody who was actually on the field, the controversy then got worse because Rush started walking out onto the field, and the Norcross coach, I don't know precisely what he said, but he said words to the effect that Rush, get off the field, the game isn't over. And he said, coach, game's over, and twice.
Yeah.
And then bottom line, a few other words were finally exchanged, and then things got a little bit hotfully. And but the situation, I think on the Norcross side, they actually thought they had a timeout.
Right. Yeah.
And they didn't. And they wasted valuable seconds recomposing themselves and realizing, holy cow, we got a moving clock. We got to get a field goal kicker out there now. And it didn't get done in time, and that's how the game ended.
Yeah, it was. And here's the thing about this, and I was going to talk about it later on, but I'll talk about it now because we have you here. The thing about all of this is that Colquitt County, and what's lost in, I think, all of this, is that Colquitt County dominated this game. I mean, if you look at the statistics, if you look at how the game was played, I mean, it wasn't even really close. I mean, Colquitt County just, they wore Norcross out. Norcross's offense, the only way they scored was Colquitt County turned it over inside, gave them very short fields. And listen, that's part of football as well. And of course, they had the fumble return, but I mean, still, it was a close game. It was a controversial ending. I thought it was a bad call, but here, there, those things happen. But also, when you just look at the totality of the game, Colquitt County, it was a better football team than Norcross. There's no question of that in my mind.
Well, especially on defense.
Oh, yeah. Golly.
Getting, what was it, 120, correct me if I'm wrong, 122 yards of offense?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that just wasn't even close. Yeah.
For the whole thing. The defense played quite well.
Yeah.
And Rush did tell Durwood Domini live on the air in the pregame interview that he was intentionally running a conservative offense because he felt, given the game situation, that was the best thing to do.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, I was hearing an interview with Nick Saban earlier today, and he was talking about playing Florida State early. He said, listen, when you play a big game like this at the college level, if you lose it, it's okay because you still got time to come back, but it shows you what you have. And I think, I would imagine, without asking Coach Probst, he would agree to that. You play these big games. If you lose it, it's not going to hurt you. It's going to make your team better, and you'll find out where you got to improve. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're not region games, and they're not playoff games. Coach Hughes, when he was here, he used to call it the exhibition season.
Yep.
That's what he called it.
And he's right.
Live at the football banquet at the beginning of the year, the come and meet the Packers thing, he used to call it the exhibition part of the schedule.
And he's absolutely right. It's there are three parts to the year. There's the preseason or the pre-region games, the region scheduling, and the playoffs, and that's where you got to make it happen. So, hey, listen, hats off to the Packers. Great start against a good football team. Norcross will be heard from this year, and a very good start. And not perfect. There's still some things to work on, but anytime you can go up there and get a win, that's a good one.
Yeah, I tried to put some humor on it, and I told Coach Tillery, the AD, I said, listen, as a representative of the county commission, I want to thank the athletic department for affording our law enforcement division the opportunity for some realistic tactical training on the field after the game. At that point, he said something about, get out of my office.
Well, they got it. You're right. They got some practice, yeah.
I got one quick question. I'll hang up on you.
Yeah, man.
The Valdosta left. What was the score at halftime?
10-0. Very close game.
Holy cow.
Yeah,
well,
it was a couple.
I'll shut up and let you talk about it.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, stay tuned. We'll do that when we come back. Good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah, you too, man. You be blessed. Take care.
And y'all show some Southern hospitalities to your visitors from the West Coast Friday night.
I told you, I'm already practicing my line. Ma'am, if you want to get waited on, ma'am, you got to call it sweet tea.
That's exactly right. Learn it quick.
Ma'am, that is not a big pickup truck. Down here, we call that a family sedan.
And first of all, she's not going to know what you're saying when you say ma'am.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. See, you messed me up, Becky.
You got time to edit it.
I'll see you, man.
Take care, my friend. See you, Colonel Paul Najee, over there in the Packer Nation. We'll talk a little bit more about the Concord-Gannon game. We will talk about the Wintersville Classic and how things kind of got away from what a lot of people thought that it was going to be, and it was for the first half. Just an unbelievable performance from that Lowndes High defense. We'll talk more about that. Lots more to come. Stay tuned. This is the High School Football Report presented by our great friends at Cass Birch Automotive, and we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, back on the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios, locations in Hayhira, Morven, to in Valdosta, 5-star rated for your financial strength and security. And hey, remember, you're going to be the next one to find 90. The anniversary scavenger hunt clues are posted monthly on social media, so follow Citizens Community Bank on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook, find those clues. Find the prize and know that you're doing business with the best at Citizens Community Bank. Again, open phone lines this hour, 229-241-1059 is our number. Also, coming up later on, we'll have your first look at the very first Region 1 7A statistics after 1 week of play. We will do that every Monday night, and we can get everybody to get them all in. We'll do Region 6A and Region 1 AA as well, so that'll be coming up later on. All right, real quick, back to the Corky Kell Kickoff Classic. Again, Colquitt County, very, I thought, convincing 20-17 win over Norcross. Colquitt led 13-0 after the first period, led 13-0 at halftime. Norcross came back, scored 10 in the third, and then took the lead 17-13 on a fumble return for a touchdown. Their defense is what saved them, because offensively, they did nothing against the Colquitt County Packer defense, which looks to be as salty as it has been in years past. In the first period now, Colquitt County outgained Norcross 143-19. Norcross, as I mentioned with the Colonel, they had a short field when they scored their points. They recovered a fumble on the Colquitt six. They still needed four downs to score a two-yard touchdown pass. And then there was a shanked punt, which gave Norcross the ball on the Colquitt 30. And then Jake Camarda, who is an unbelievable kicker, he is going to University of Georgia, hit a 52-yard field goal to make it 13-10. And then, of course, the fumble return for a touchdown gave him the lead for a little bit until Ty Leggett broke off a long run and gave Concord County the winning margin. Now, back to the play. Again, Lewis Williams, the quarterback for Norcross, the driving down three, time running out. He throws a pass on the left side to Isaiah McCoy. When McCoy catches it, he has to kind of come back to get it. And when he does, he is hit by a Colquitt defender, and the hit drives him out of bounds. And to me, that is, yeah, I mean, his forward progress was stopped, but he went out of bounds. And so, I mean, that's the, you know, anytime you run out of bounds, I don't care what the play is, at some point your forward progress is going to be stopped. It's going to be stopped when you go out of bounds. And so, again, and if I'm not a high school official, to me it looked like it should have been called out of bounds if, you know, that's it's a judgment call. But, again, these calls are made on the field. Probably 10 other calls missed. People aren't perfect. Officials aren't perfect. Bad calls happen every game. The fact, when you look at the totality of the game, without question, Colquitt County was the better football team. A couple of key mistakes on turnovers allowed Norcross to stay in there. there was also someone who questioned that the kicker, because after all this, and the Colonel was right, they spotted it and they had to move it to the left hash, and time ran out. They snapped it right after the buzzer sounded to end the game, and the kid kicked it, and it was good. I mean, another incredible kick, especially on the fly. And then after he kicked it, one of the Packer defenders ran across and caught part of his leg, and they said, oh, that should have been roughing, or at least running into the kicker. The game was over. Doesn't matter. The final whistle had sounded. So, I mean, he could have come by and you know, give him a brain buster. It wouldn't have mattered. The game's over. So, not that I'm... He should have done that, but I'm just saying. It was not running into the kicker because the play didn't count. Regardless, it's and, you know, if they do call the ball out of bounds, that does not mean with certainty that he makes the field goal that goes in overtime. Colquitt County could have, I mean, it probably would have won anyway. It was a long kick. The kid did make one of them, but if he had time to set up and maybe think about it a little bit, no guarantee he would have made that kick. There was a little bit of a skirmish after the game. It looked like some of the Norcross coaches got in Coach Rush Probst's face. Not a good idea. Probst got right back in there, and not surprisingly, a yelling match ensued, and the coach had to be moved away. In the post-game comments, it looked like both coaches kind of took the high road, but you could tell it was pretty raw there on the field. So, but again, good opponent. That's why you play these games. Cockle County off to a 1-0 start. We remembered how they started last year. So Packer fans are not going to apologize for anything, nor would I. Very hard-fought win for the Packers. They will host Vista Burrieta, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, from California this Friday night. And California, like most states, have not started their seasons yet, so this will be their season opener against the Packers, who are 1-0 and will return to the friendly confines of MacTharp Stadium. Now, back to the Wintersville Classic. Lowndes wins 45-0. I do not know, especially against the caliber of opponent of the Valdosta Wildcats, that I have seen a defense be this dominant in a game like this, especially a rivalry game like this. Valdosta, 59 total yards. 27 carries, 24 yards. They passed for 35, two interceptions as well, one fumble loss, three turnovers, less than 60 total yards. That is a recipe for disaster. Now, Valdosta's defense played very well. Again, as I mentioned, 10-0 at halftime. And then a couple of defensive touchdowns really helped Lowndes out, and that made a big, big difference. It breaks the game open. This 10-0 in a hard-fought defensive game, certainly they've got the edge. And with the way that their defense was playing, you kind of got the feeling that 10 points might have been enough because they were playing just that well. But, again, it was a and I shouldn't say that. I actually misspoke. It was not two defensive touchdowns. Michael Barrett actually scored on a in the third quarter on a, I think it was a five-yard touchdown run. And then he passed to Tavon Kyle for a touchdown. Tyson Shaw returned a fumble for a touchdown. And then Tavon Kyle ran a interception back. So their offense did score a couple of touchdowns, which, again, broke it open. But those two defensive touchdowns really made everything fall apart. J.D. Lee added one later in the game. But just a complete and dominant performance by the Lowndes Vikings against what I think is still going to be a very good Valdosta High football team. And that's part of what the first week and what makes it so interesting. You start to ask yourself, okay, well, how good are we? How good is my team? A lot of it depends on how good are the people we play. And again, at this early in the season, you really don't know yet. You got to have a few games and some comparative scores to say, okay, well, you know, then that makes this win more impressive. If Valdosta goes out to run nine straight, and that could happen, well, then that Lowndes win looks huge because they know they would have beaten a very good football team. So again, it's still early in the season. You still really don't know. But obviously, when you look at the kind of numbers that the defense put up on Friday night, an extremely, extremely impressive win for the Vikings. They will play the International School of Broward County. Boy, they better bring in a lot of international players if they're going to play with this Lowndes defense. So congratulations to Coach Randy McPherson and the Vikings. Also, another game involving a South Georgia team of interest was, and I thought it kind of got underplayed last week, it turned out to be a whale of a ball game with some idiosyncrasies of its own. The Purple Hurricane from Fitzgerald High School went up to Hapeville Charter. That game was a rematch of last year's semifinals that Fitzgerald won 42-21. And in this game, it was 25-22 Hapeville winning. They blocked a field goal on the last play of the game, which would have tied it, and blocked it, and so they hung on to the win. By the way, I heard somebody say, well, it was partially blocked. There's no such thing. It's like being kind of pregnant. If you get your hand on a kick, then you blocked it. There's no partially. I don't care if it goes backward, forward, sideways, whatever. If you get your hand on it, it's a block, okay? And that's what happened. Fitzgerald had a lot of offense, 479 yards. James Graham, the quarterback, who was a strong consideration for the Houston Clinic Player of the Week, ran for 243 yards, three touchdowns. He passed for 210 yards. He will have more games like that this year than not. He is an exceptional football player. Five turnovers, three fumbles, two inside the Hapeville five. Oh, that kills you. You turn it over twice inside their five. That hurts bad. It's hard to overcome that on the road against a good football team. So a tough loss for Tucker Pruitt in his debut as the Fitzgerald head coach, but again, against a good Hapeville Charter team. We talked about this last week. They had some transfers. They were a good team last year, had some more kids move in, so we knew that they would be tough. And offensively, Fitzgerald ran up and down the field on them. Defensively, gave up some, but again, five turnovers put your defense in a very, very tough position, but a heck of a football game. And adding to it was the fact that we were talking about this on the Friday night show. Fishtown had the lead, and all of a sudden, they were playing this game at Banneker High School. I don't know if Hapeville Charter does not have lights or what the deal is. They were playing this at Banneker High School, and all of a sudden, the lights go out. This is in the second half, fourth quarter. Lights go out, like an 18-minute delay while they get the lights back on. And after that, Hapeville Charter comes and scores a touchdown and gets the lead. So, a momentum breaker, yeah, I mean, I know it was out on both sides of the field. I get all that. But still, boy, when you are trying to close one out, that is, you don't want a bunch of people sitting around resting for a while. You want to go ahead and get it done. But again, who knows why lights go out? It was a crazy kind of a deal, but that's not going to hurt Fitzgerald's chances. And I tell you, this Region 1 AA, if you just look at the first weekend's scores, Brooks County, a tough defensive game against Cook. It was 0-0 at halftime. Brooks County goes on to win 21-0. Thomasville, in a game that was delayed to start to a 10 o'clock kickoff because of lightning in Thomasville against Cairo. And Thomasville just walks the dog on them. I mean, a huge win for Zach Grage and the Bulldogs. They had a school record field goal. I think it was 52 or 53 yards by Carl Blackmore. Boy, they had a lot of things going right, absolutely, for Thomas High School and getting that big win over Cairo. And that's a big rivalry, if you're not aware. 37-8. Game did not end. I was getting texts at 12:30, 12:45 when that thing finally wrapped up. So it was a late night in Thomasville, but you won't hear the Bulldog fans complain about it. They are very, very happy to get that win. When you look at that region now, Fitzgerald's going to be good. Brooks County's going to be good like they always are. Thomasville, I think Coach Grage has moved, certainly, that program. Remember, they won one game 2 years ago. Got better last year. Looks like they're very good this year, if you can go by one game. We'll find out more this week in the big rivalry game, Thomas County Central versus Thomasville, and that game will be at Thomas County Central. And also, Thomasville is going for, gosh, what is it, 700 wins? It may be 800 wins. I'll look that up real quick. But it's a big game, historical purposes, for Thomasville as well. So, again, big win for them. Let's round out some of the other scores from the weekend. Again, in Region 1, 7A, we mentioned the Packers. We mentioned Lowndes. Tiff County had it easy in the Irk Russell Classic. They take care of South Effingham, 42-0. Griffin Collier, three-year starter quarterback. He is about 30-some-odd yards away. I think he threw for 208. He needed 242 to break the school passing record. So he is about 34 yards, I think it is, shy of that record. He will get that pretty early on this weekend against the Cook High Hornets, I would imagine, Friday night. And then Camden County, a successful debut for Bob Spire, the head coach of the Baby Blue Wildcats. They defeat Oak Leaf, Florida, 19-6. We'll get some other scores in just a minute. Let's go back to the phone line. Hello, caller. How are you?
Beckham and the Beckham Bunch did a fantastic job Friday night.
Well, I appreciate it, brother.
There was a couple of calls that somebody called squeakers that kind of were blown out. But I got to tell you that it looks like our region is super solid defense.
Yeah.
This year. Man, oh, man, Chris.
I would agree. It's going to be a fun to watch once they get into it.
Colquitt and Lowndes, it wow.
Yeah.
Doggone it. I mean, when you compare them two games, it was just two almost college-ranked type defenses, what it looked like to me.
Yeah. You know, we mentioned last week or week before that there was, I think we have as many big-time recruits this year as I can remember, and you saw some of that on display, I think, this weekend, both in for the Packers, for the Vikings, for Tiff County, their big stud, Andrew Johnson, who's committed to Oregon. He had a defensive fumble return for a touchdown. And obviously, Camden County, I don't know much about Oakley, Florida, but Camden County, anytime you can hold the team to six, that's a good night's work.
I'm proud for our state representing well against Florida. And one comment that was made Friday night that I'll back up whoever said it was graduation got not Austin.
Absolutely.
And I really feel that that was true. I think that Valdosta is going to still be strong, but they've got to put their pieces back together.
That's right. Yeah, long season.
And I just, I'll pull for Valdosta from now on until they come up against my Plowboys, and then that's where I gotta go with the alma mater. But, I was hoping that Lowndes wouldn't run the score up, and in my opinion, I don't think they did. So I just think that it fell that way, and if anybody says they run the score up, I didn't see it from my perspective.
Yeah, I don't think they did either. Like I said, when you get two defensive touchdowns, You know, that tends to run the score up and makes it a wide margin. But yeah, I don't think they, if you look at the statistics, they didn't keep guys in, and run up big numbers or anything like that. It was just, kind of the way things fell.
It fell that way. Thank you very much. Cause, I'm just kind of sitting back waiting on somebody to say, well, they had us down and then they tried to show off. I didn't hear that. I didn't feel that happen. So I think sportsmanship is alive and well here in the Lowndes County, Valdosta area.
No doubt about it. And I think both will have very good seasons.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for, like I say, I am still honored by the prayer that you have every week. And if I can pull over to the side during that time, I try to, and I really do appreciate that.
Hey, man, I appreciate it very much. And you know what? You don't have to pull over. The good Lord knows where you are.
yes, he does. God bless you, my friend.
Take care, man. Have a great week.
Take care.
All right, 229-241-1059. Let's take a quick look, by the way, at the Class 7A rankings. Not much change. Grayson's still number one. They'll play Hoover in their opener this coming Friday night. That game will be at Grayson. Cockle County remains at number two after their win. Lowndes moves up from number four to number three. Mill Creek with an impressive win over McEachern moves up to number four. Parkview moves up from eighth to fifth with a big 50-13 win over Peachtree Ridge. Westlake, North Cobb, Archer, Norcross, and McEachern round out your top 10. In Region 1-6A, of course, Valdosta with the loss in the Wintersville Classic. Coffee with an impressive win against Effingham County, 35-20. They move up from number 8 to number 6. Lee County, Thursday night, defeated Mary Persons 21-17. They move up from number 5 to number 3. Northside Warner Robins, who was ranked 4th, they lost to Warner Robins 28-17. They dropped from 4th down to 10th. So still 4 of the 5 teams from that region remain in the state's top 10. Tucker still number 1, although they had a squeaker. They beat Kell 28-27 in the Corky Kell Classic. A very close game for the Tucker Tigers. And they had to have a touchdown in overtime to win that game. A missed extra point cost Kell in that very thrilling ball game there. Harrison, number 2. Oh, boy, that quarterback, Justin Fields. You've heard all the talk about him being a top recruit. Well, here's why. 11 of 20, 228 yards rushing, 4 passing. I should say passing, not rushing. 4 passing touchdowns, and he ran for 153 yards and 2 more scores on 12 carries, including a 50-yard run on the 5th play of the game. So he is something else, and that's why Harrison is ranked number 1. We don't talk a lot about statewide games that don't involve South Georgia teams. Harrison is at Rome this coming week. Rome, defending state champion in 5A, and a lot of talent. And Harrison, well, that's going to be one to watch there as well. So, and real quick, let's run through our 5A as far as state local teams ranked in the state's top 10. Ware County, who is yet to play, they will be at Glen Academy Friday night, but being off paid off because they actually worked against them. They moved from number 5 to number 6. Warner Robins, who was unranked, but they beat Northside, they move into the top 10 at number 7. And Thomas County Central, who beat Worth County 30-13, they are number 8. Bainbridge is 9th as well in that top 10 in 5A. We'll go over some more of the scores and rankings in just a little bit. Also, real quick shout-out to my buddy Maurice Freeman, the head coach of the Brooks County Trojans, who I mentioned got their season opening win against the Cook High Hornets. Coach Freeman was in a bit of a wreck on his motorcycle on Saturday. I understand he is okay, just a little banged up. Brooks County is off this week. That's probably not a bad thing for the coach as he tries to mend. But, Coach, glad you are pretty much okay and glad it wasn't a lot worse. And be safe out there, man. We'll tell you about some national big news as well. Also coming up, we will tell you who our Houston Clinic Player of the Week is for week 1 of the football season and also what our Game of the Week this week is. A lot of good ones. I'll tell you the one we have selected and the 10 games that we will be picking as well. So stay tuned. A lot more coming right here as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. And we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Once again, broadcasting live on this Monday night from the Citizens Community Bank Studios, this is the High School Football Report, presented by our friends at Cass Birch Automotive. Boy, the summer clearance event is going on right now. Check out the fantastic deals. 2017 Ram 1500 Laramie Crew Cab for $499 a month. Are you kidding me? Also, check out the Road Ready offer. Two oil changes, tire rotations, multi-point inspection, $79.95. Cass Birch will take care of you both on North Philosopher Road and over in Quitman. Check them out today and take advantage of that summer clearance event. Great, great deals that are going on as we speak. They're not going to last forever. So September the 5th, some of these offers will be off the table. So check them out today. By the way, follow us on Facebook, The High School Football Report on Facebook, also on Twitter at HSFReport at Twitter.com. We post things throughout the week and a good way to keep up with everything going on in high school football. Real quick, let's round out the rest of the rankings, statewide rankings. We left off in 5A in Quad A. We don't have a lot of Quad A teams, and none in South Georgia are ranked in the top 10. Cartersville still number one after they beat Allatoona 35-14. Trevor Lawrence, another day at the office, 230 yards. State's number one recruit, number one quarterback of the nation. Yeah, no big deal. Easy win. And so no South Georgia teams in the Quad A rankings. In Triple A, Peach County is still number one. They were off last week. They'll open up at Houston County this coming Friday night. Crisp County moves from 6th to 5th after beating Dooley 40-18. First win for Coach Brad Harbor, who has taken over that program. They'll be at America Sumter this coming Friday night. In Double A, Benedictine remains 1-0, 33-8 win over Glen Academy, which had the strangest thing I've seen in a football game, and I've seen a lot of strange things. But a Glen Academy player who tried to draw Benedictine offsides by doing the worm, we shared that on our Friday Night Football Facebook page, our Chick-fil-A Football Friday Night Show Facebook page. We shared that video and on the Twitter feed as well, I believe. Here's the thing about that, real quick, and it was just a crazy thing to watch. It was on SportsCenter and everything else. Here's the deal that nobody talked about. It was 3rd and 8. So if he draws them offsides, and he did, it's still only 3rd and 3. They still got to, you know, don't get the first down. They still got to punt the ball anyway. So strange, just strange. Fitzgerald stays at number 3 despite the loss to number 2 Hapeville Charter. Also, Thomasville enters the rankings at number 7. Brooks County goes from number 8 to number 9 with their win over Cook. In Single A Public School, Clinch County remains number 1. A tough first half against Blackley County up in Cochran. Overcame a halftime deficit and scored 27 unanswered in the second half to win 37-14. Also, Single A Irwin County stays at 6. The Single A standings did not change one iota. Irwin stays at number 6. Turner County stays at number 9. So those are your rankings for this week. Region 1 7A statistics. Every week we will have these. I won't go through the whole thing. We'll give you the top few. And just after week one, these things will kind of end up settling out. The top 10 rushers in 1-7A, Shamel Johnson, the young man who moved to Tift County. He was a star at Metter High School last year. Family moved into Tifton. He is now the starting tailback for Ashley Anders Blue Devils. 109 yards in his debut in that win over South Effingham. He is number 1 in the region, followed by number 2, Michael Barrett from Lowndes with 90 yards. Jakari Ganston from Camden County, he looks like he may be their bell cow. 86 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Ty Leggett from Colquitt County is 4th with 77 yards. J.D. Lee had 51. Rest of your top 10 is Brooks Bryan from Camden County. Dejun Edwards from Colquitt County. Mike Jones from Tift County. Nigel Hilly from Colquitt. And Stephen Krzyzewski from Colquitt County as well. Passing the ball, Griffin Collier, 199 yards. And I was a little bit off in exactly what I said he was throwing for. So I guess he needs 242. So he needs 43 yards in his second game to break the school's all-time passing record. Brooks Bryan, number 2 from Camden County, throwing for 192 yards. I don't know if Camden threw for 192 last year, but Brooks Bryan did on Friday nights, 11 of 17, pretty accurate. Krzyzewski from Cockle County, 12 of 20 for 138 yards. Michael Barrett from Lowndes, 96 yards passing. Keyshawn Mays, the backup at Tift County, threw for 64. Your top 10 receivers real quick, Tift County's Rashad Bateman leads the way in a big way with 124 yards receiving in his opener. Followed by Tavon Kyle, Josh Hadley, Jakari Gaston from Camden, Cam Singletary from Colquitt, Katavian Jones from Tift, Cam Cobb from Tift, Jameson Turner from Tift. Tift threw the ball a lot. Travis Tisdale from Lowndes, number 10, Tyler Ajero from Tift County High School. So we will update you on those stats every Monday night right here on the High School Football Report. And a good night for a lot of our area teams. Again, 4-0. Region 1 7A goes 4-0 in their first week of competition. So, again, open phone lines, 229-241-1059 is our number. Let's talk about the games that we're going to be looking at this coming Friday night. We'll run down the complete list, and we'll tell you the 10 that we will be selecting, and we will be posting this list on both Facebook sites for the High School Football Report and for the Chick-fil-A Football Friday Nights Facebook pages. And we want our listeners to and our followers and Facebook friends and everybody to pick the games yourself this week because we don't want a tie. Nobody likes ties. So this week we're going to add a score prediction for our game of the week. And last week, Joey Marta performed the best, who he picked 9-1, only had one miss in the picks. So see and match your wits against the rest of the folks who post, as well as us on Friday night as well. Here's a complete rundown of all the games this coming Friday night. Vista Murrieta of California, they'll be at Cochran County. Friday night at MacTharp Stadium. International School of Broward will be at Lowndes. Cook will be at Tift County. Venice, Florida will be at Camden County. Woodland from Stockbridge will be at Valdosta. Brunswick at Coffee. Bainbridge at Lee County. That's the opener for Bainbridge. Also, Peach County will be at Houston County. In 5A, Henry County will be at Northside Warner Robins. The Battle of Jackson Street, Thomasville will be at Thomas County Central, both 1-0. Ware County opens up against Glenn Academy. Crisp County will be at Americus. Monroe will be at Westover. And Turner County will be at Worth County. In AA, Pierce County will be at Bacon. Vidalia will be at Appling County. Charlton County will be at Brantley County. Actually, those are all 3A games. In AA, Fitzgerald will be at Irwin County. That's a big rivalry up in Osceola as well. Eufaula, Alabama will be at Early County. Be the opener for Early County's Bobcats this year. Lanier County will be at Berrien, opener for the Bulldogs. Berrien lost last Friday night to Irwin. Bakington Charter will be at Pelham. Calhoun County at Schley County. Terrell County at Miller County. Randolph Clay at Abbeville, Alabama. Stewart County at Seminole. Atkinson County at Jeff Davis. McIntosh County Academy will be at Clinch County. Telfair at Savannah. Tatnall Square at Wilcox County. In the GISA, Westfield will be at Valwood. Tift Area will be at Southwest Georgia Academy. Brookwood will host McClay. Terrell Academy will host Heritage. North Florida Christian will be at Deerfield Windsor. Southland will be at Westwood. And then on Saturday night, Lanier Christian will be at Georgia Christian in Dasher. Congratulations to Crosby Tuck, his first win as the head general down in Dasher. They got last Friday night on the road at Osceola Christian. So that's a complete slate of the games that we'll be following this weekend. As for the 10 games we'll be selecting, here they are. Number one, should we go bottom up? How should we do this? Let's do that. Fitzgerald at Irwin County. Turner County at Worth County. And remember, interesting game there. Worth County head coach Ben Simmons last year, the head coach at Turner County. So now he will face his former players, and I'm sure that's going to be an interesting game for several reasons in Sylvester. Crisp County will be at America Sumter. We'll be picking that game. Ware County at Glenn Academy. That should be a very good game. That's going to be at Glenn Academy. Thomas County Central versus Thomasville. Bainbridge at Lee County. Again, opener for Jeff Littleton's Bainbridge Bearcats. Coach Arbigio's team with an impressive win in their opener. Coffee host Brunswick. Again, interesting there. Brunswick, new head coach Sean Pender, the former Valdosta State great, who has done a very good job at Pierce County. And also he was at Cordial up in Crisp County for a little while. Brantley before that. He'll be having his coaching debut as the head pirate at Jardine Stadium against the Coffee High Trojans. Valdosta, home opener for them. They'll host Woodland Stockbridge. We'll be picking that game. And Vista Murrieta, the California team, comes in to play the Packers. We'll be picking that game as well. Our game of the week this week, however, is a rematch of last year's state semifinals when McIntosh County Academy knocked off the Clinch County Panthers. Their rematch will be this Friday night, right there to Don Tyson Field, Panther Stadium, the Boneyard, whatever you want to call it. And the Panthers, I'm sure, will have revenge on their mind. So, again, that will be our game of the week. MCA won their opener against Brantley County. Clinch battled back to win their opener, so both 1-0. Should be a great game in Homerville this coming Friday night. Again, after the show, we will post these on our social media. We urge you to and get your friends involved. Make it a contest, and we will let you know who has the best selections next Monday night. We'll put a little, you got to pick the score on our game of the week, MCA at Clinch County, so we can, if we do have a tie, we don't want ties. We want an outright winner. By the way, quick little side note, an interesting side note, on that game down in Dasher, that's going to be Saturday night, Lanier Christian at Georgia Christian. I mentioned Georgia Christian, of course, has a new coach in Crosby Tuck. Lanier Christian, and they're from the Atlanta area, is the best I can tell you, but they don't have a new coach. This is actually his second year, but a little bit of a blast from the past. And I'll give you some hints before I tell you exactly who it is. But their head football coach at Lanier Christian, who will be in Dasher Saturday night, has a fairly recognizable name. He was Mr. Football in Mississippi, played football at Brandon High School, the most outstanding player in the state. He went on to play at Mississippi State University, where he is their second all-time leading rusher. He is their leading rusher all-time. And also, it was a three-year starter at Mississippi State. He was selected in the third round of the NFL draft by our own Atlanta Falcons. By the way, WVJ, your home of the Falcons. And had a pretty good NFL career. Also played for 1 year in the CFL as well with the Toronto Argonauts. Jarius Norwood, the head coach, Lanier Christian, will be in Dasher Saturday nights. And all those wonderful stats I just told you about, playing with the Falcons, playing at Mississippi State, Mr. Football, that doesn't get him 1 yard Saturday night down under the big oak in Dasher. So impressive resume, but not going to help you against the Generals coming up Saturday night. And we hope he goes back up to North Georgia with an L. Lanier Christian is like Georgia Christian, both 1-1 on the season. So that's what you can expect this Friday night. Of course, we will have week two of the biggest high school football scoreboard show in the world, the Chick-fil-A Football Friday night. We'll be broadcasting live from 6 to midnight, tracking all of these games. And you can follow us on SOGAFootball@twitter.com, and you can follow along with the games as well. All right, we'll take one more break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about some of the big national news, including the national top 25. And a lot of those teams have yet to play, but we'll tell you about some national news and also some other statewide news as well and some other interesting takes from week one of the high school football season. We are glad that it is finally here. We'll do that right after this. Stay tuned. You're listening to the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive, and we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Hi, once again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. And also a big thank you to our friends at Peaceway Counseling and Mediation Services right here in Valdosta. They offer a lot of different services to help keep families together. Whether you're talking about anger management or marital counseling or premarital counseling or family counseling, DUI school defensive driving program, they have got it all. And if you think there's a way that they can help you or a friend or your family, peacewaycms.com. And they are trying to keep families together one piece at a time. And again, they have a lot of different services that can hopefully help you. I also want to remind you, if you happen to miss any part of our show, it's always easy to listen to our podcast. We put it up about 30 minutes after the show is over at ValdostaToday.com. We will also provide a link on our Facebook and Twitter right after the show is over. So if you want to go back and listen to it, we keep the last 3 weeks worth of shows there. So you can go back and listen to any of those, the High School Football Report. And again, we'll post that link up on our social media shortly after the show is over. Before we get to any more national news, our Houston Clinic Player of the Week, and we appreciate our great friends at the Houston Clinic for sponsoring our Player of the Week every week. And it's a difficult thing to pick a Player of the Week because so many different kinds of players, offense, defense, special teams, they all do different things. The beauty of it is that the Houston Clinic treats them all. They've got fantastic folks right here in Valdosta taking care of our players and being on the sidelines of games, the whole nine yards. They're right there at 4340 Kings Way, 8 to 5:30 Monday through Thursday, 8 to 5 on Friday, with a very talented team of doctors and my buddy Dr. Matthew Heaton. And there's just a ton of them over there to help out. And we appreciate what they do. Of course, Kurt Jacobson, and just a ton of them over there. And they are invested in our young people, and we appreciate that very much. So check them out at Houston. That's H-U-G-H-S-T-O-N at Houston.com, and see all the different locations and how they can help you. All right, our Player of the Week. This was a tough one now because, again, as we talk about guys who play offense and play defense, a lot to consider. And as we kind of walked ourselves through this process, we said, you know, there's one thing we just don't think there's any way possible that we could ignore. And that was the dominant performance put on by the Lowndes High Vikings this past Friday night in the Winnersville Classic. So we thought about it a little bit and said, well, let's just make the whole defense the player of the week. But to me, and you hate to single out, I know Coach McPherson hates when we do stuff like this because he wants to celebrate the entire team. And obviously it takes everybody to have that kind of performance that they had last Friday night. But in doing so, we said, we do want to try to keep it. It seemed like, I don't know, it seems like a little bit of a cop out to just say the whole defense. So we want to pick one. They say, and you know, a lot of guys had great games. But how do you pick just one? Well, we thought about it and thought about it, and we said, here's the one person that we just think, in a couple of different ways, made a huge, huge contribution for the Vikings. Our first 2017 Houston Clinic Player of the Week, Tyson Shaw. 6 tackles. He had a sack. 2 tackles for loss. He returned that fumble, 44 yards for a Viking touchdown, and he kicked an extra point just to make sure he had all of his bases covered. And again, lots of guys on that defense could have gone. Will Tolbert, he had a great game. Tamir Moore had a great game. Boy, Walker Schwab had a couple of big tackles for loss. A lot of guys obviously chipped in on that defense for the Vikings. And again, hats off. Just don't forget this now. First game as a defensive coordinator for Byron Slack, the new Viking defensive coordinator, I would say it's a success because a lot of different young men contributed. But we felt like none more so than Tyson Shaw. So, Tyson, congratulations. You are our Houston Clinic Player of the Week. And, again, several different guys had big-time offensive games. I mentioned James Graham at Fitzgerald had a huge game on Friday night. The Lee County quarterback, Jace Orndorff, threw it all over the place. Griffin Collier had a fantastic night. He's about to break the school record. Rashad Bateman, receiver at Tift County. Jamian Gaskins from Coffee County had a huge game. A couple of touchdowns, made a big play on defense. So, a lot of different guys making plays. This week, Tyson Shaw earns that nod. So congratulations to him. And we will post that on our social media as well. And also we'll be picking that and announcing that every Monday night here on the High School Football Report. Quick look at some of our the national highlights as it is. Now, Max Preps does their national 25 football rankings. If you've ever heard me on this show or on the Friday night show or wherever talk about national rankings, I don't put a lot of stock into them. Matter of fact, I really put none, because if you're not playing each other, then it's kind of silly to say this team is the best in the nation, because there's no way to prove that. It's simply, how do they look on paper, look at results, but you don't know how the competition is and all that kind of stuff. So we say that, we talk about this with that kind of disclaimer going in. But the Max Preps Top 25 High School Scoreboard, not a lot of them played. As a matter of fact, I think all of the teams have yet to open. Number 14, Chandler, Arizona. Wildcats, remember those guys? We played them in that after-season game last year. They won their opener 42-14 over Red Mountain from Mesa, Arizona. But they're one of the very few in the top 25 who played. Warren Central out of Indianapolis won by a field goal. East Salt Lake City, Utah won 42-10. And number 25, Kahuka, Hawaii. God bless you. 37-0 in their opener. So modern-day Santa Ana, Bishop Gorman from Las Vegas, IMG Academy, St. John Bosco from California, St. Thomas Aquinas from Florida, they have all yet to play. All of them will be opening this Friday night. The top-ranked Georgia team is the Grayson Rams, and, of course, they're going to be opening Friday night against the Hoover High Bucks from Alabama. Always a top-notch program. Obviously, they are not ranked in the top 25 in Max Preps, but they always got a lot of players, and that should be a very good game coming up on Friday night as well. So, nationally, more of our upper-tier teams will be getting into action this coming Friday night. One young man who did steal some headlines in his season opener, and I think he picked the right college to go to, Cammon Cooper. Cammon Cooper plays high school football in Lehi, Utah. Double overtime win. They won 72-66. Something tells me defense is not really a priority at Lehi High School in Utah. However, Lehi quarterback Cammon Cooper, 49 of 71, threw for 599 and 10 touchdowns. I don't care who you're playing, that's an impressive night. 6'4", 200, he is a top 20 ranked quarterback, according to 24/7 Sports. He is committed to play at Washington State, where he committed back in May to play for my buddy Mike Leach. That is a match made in passing heaven, because if anybody knows how to throw the ball around the old yard, it's my man Mike Leach at Washington State. So he probably smiled when he saw the stats for Cammon Cooper. 599 and 10 touchdowns. That's impressive. Every week we'll try to give you a couple of the highlights Somebody said, I know you're going to use your national highlight, the Glenn Academy guy doing the worm. That's not a highlight. That's an oddity and strange and weird and funny. And again, if you've not seen that yet, check out our Facebook page and you'll see what I'm talking about. But, very strange. Didn't really work either. And that hurts it. So, but there it is. Doing the worm. How do you pitch that in a coaching meeting? You know, coach, if we get close and it's third and four, we got to draw them off sides. Let's get the tackle to do the worm. I just don't know how that comes up. Weird. So again, we'll start updating that. We'll have more of those national scores to update as the season goes on and everybody really gets opened up. Again, Georgia opens up really before most states. Alabama starts this weekend. The majority of the teams in Florida begin this coming weekend as well. So, and again, we had a lot of teams in Georgia off last Friday night. Even teams in our coverage area, a lot of them will be starting. So we'll have a full slate of games, much fuller than we had last Friday night, to be covering this Friday night on the High School Football Show. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for us on this Monday. Again, thanks to our great friends at Cass Birch Automotive. Also, the fine folks at Peaceway Counseling and Mediation Services, and, of course, our friends at Citizens Community Bank. Hey, again, like us on Facebook, The High School Football Report on Facebook, and also on Twitter at HSF Report. We're going to be putting up our games. Try your picks against us. We'll see you Friday night, 6 to midnight, right here on 105.9 and also online at ValastaToday.com. Hope you tune in, go out and support your team, and we'll keep you updated with everything else going on around the area. And if your team lost your opener, hey, week one, flush it and get going. Long season ahead. Thanks for listening on this Monday night. Have a fantastic week.